Hello, grandkids. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1172. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, just the regular wrestling intake. After being force-fed wrestling like an entire weekend, depending upon how many brands you wanted to watch. The previous weekend. This one, a lot lighter on the fare, sir. We
Yes,
really
yes.
only had SmackDown and Raw to talk about within our purview. Collision, because as I even looked up, I'm like, I know I didn't watch Collision, but
It aired on
maybe I
Thursday,
should.
didn't
Yeah, and it aired on Thursday when Jeremy and
Yeah.
I were recording. So it's just like,
Gotta
oh yeah,
ask.
I did watch that in the background as we did the show. So I guess technically I did watch that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was easy. I think SmackDown was some easy viewing this week. You could definitely tell that it was a taped show. I feel like additional video packages always accompany these types of shows, and that ended up happening here. There was one big story though throughout this thing that leads us into Raw quite well, I would say, and it involves Cody. It involves Sami Zayn. It involved Jey Uso.
Yes, SmackDown opens with Sami Zayn coming out to brag on his championship win. He's interrupted by Cody. He's interrupted by Jey Uso. They both wonder of wonders. They both challenge Sami at the same time, and of course,
Yep. They both dap him up, try to give him his props for winning the big one.
and Adam Pearce makes a match for later tonight between Cody and Jey Uso. Fast forward, the match takes place. Cody defeats Jey Uso. Cody Rhodes, advertised for a WWE Undisputed WWE Championship match with Sami Zayn taking place on Monday Night Raw from Chicago. Fast forward again. Monday Night Raw opens with a confrontation with Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes. And as Cody is walking away from said confrontation, he is jumped by Gunther, who power bombs him through a table, and then kicks a car door in Cody's head because Cody was running scared from the fight. He was trying to drive away. I mean, what else do you how else am I supposed to view this as?
Yeah, that was the strangest part, maybe, of this whole angle. You're supposed to feel bad for Cody, but it's just like, why did you choose that route here, sir? Like,
Why did he open it? Why did he think he was gonna be able to just drive away?
that was just a not good choice on his part, for whatever reason. Like, I don't know if he thought he was gonna run Gunther over. That would not really be a good plan, given the circumstances.
I don't think that was his plan. I'm not really sure. Again, I'm like, totally not sure what it was. And then maybe he was running away, but the car door gets slammed at his head. He's busted open from said car door, injured. And as the night goes on, we discover that he is unable to compete. Nick Aldis is there, even despite being put on leave. He is getting into it with Gunther. He's getting into it with Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce promises a champion, still promises a championship match before the end of the night. But it's Nick Aldis who's the one who is has made the secured the deal to get a Sami Zayn opponent.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, given the fact that Adam Pearce and CM Punk were frequent card mates on the indies, that it wouldn't pop into his brain to call CM Punk.
Yeah, very, 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 very. I mean, Very strange, but yeah, we're getting a lot of general manager versus general manager tension here. It's been building for a little bit, but all this is accusing Pearson in the first place and stealing a main event, a SmackDown main event, and giving it to Raw.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, it's fair enough accusation.
Yeah. And but okay, we get we get the match in the ring, or we get Sami Zayn in the ring. We get we build the anticipation. I mean, from the moment Cody was taken out, I think everyone in the world knew where this was headed.
Yeah, I mean, even the crowd was not helping things at all, honestly. There were a number of CM Punk chants throughout the night before this even happened. We know what Chicago is there for. And that's
Yes.
Chuck
And
Morris, the Punk.
yeah, and they got it. We do this, again, dramatic, entrance into the building of CM Punk. He comes out to, of course, a gigantic pop.
Yep.
Extended, with the extended version of his entrance. We got everything. These people are molten
Yeah.
hot for this. The match begins. They have a hell of a match. Give them all the credit in the world for having a hell of a match. And ultimately, in the end, CM Punk defeats Sami Zayn for the WWE Championship. Sami is champion for 9 days. CM Punk is the new WWE champion. Chicago rejoiced. And CM Punk trying to recreate his first his legendary championship win from Chicago, takes the belt, runs into the crowd. In a scene of it's a jubilant scene, but man, those security guards got overwhelmed. Like they were trying to follow Punk, but they got lost. Like the people swarmed. And by that, I mean, again, this is it's Chicago. There's not gonna be any. No one's gonna be a threat to Punk or anything. So everyone was just very happy.
Oh, right.
And the show, Again, a very, very, very happy moment to end the show.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I can't remember if we said Sami Zayn might make it to SummerSlam when we talked last week.
Well, we didn't know what was coming. He did not. I did not re. Well. I got
And
spoiled on that.
not
I got
every.
spoiled on that beforehand. I did get to, I did I did beforehand get spoiled on, there's gonna be a rematch and it's gonna be on Raw. I did get that. And again, you're going through the scenarios of how this is gonna happen. Is Cody gonna get the belt back? Is somebody gonna cost Cody the match? I never thought the route of having Cody. I did not ever think of the route of having Cody get taken out before the match and replaced by CM Punk. I mean, you figured that if Chicago CM Punk was going to show up at the end, but to actually win the championship in Chicago impromptu, you know what? Obviously, until the attack on Cody took place, that still wasn't in my head that Punk was actually going to leave with the championship. Obviously, once it happened, then of course it's
I
all I could think
agree
about.
that they have usually advertised CM Punk appearing.
They have.
Once you didn't hear about him, and like you said, like there wasn't any hint of Gunther wanting to take out Cody on SmackDown.
No. Well, there was no Hunt, there was no Gunther on SmackDown because they did play out the for one day they played out the Gunther and Aldis are not allowed in the building.
Yeah, for the pre-taped show, they
Yeah.
managed to keep them off TV, but that was as long as it lasted.
Yeah. So now we have somewhat of an open scenario of what can happen from here. Sami Zayn obviously upset about losing the championship without, knowing who his opponent was ahead of time.
Oh.
Maybe in line for another match. Cody was supposed to have a match, but that got taken from him. So, he's in line for potentially in line for the SummerSlam title match, depending on whether or not he wants to take out his anger on Gunther first.
Yeah, which very well could happen.
It very well
I
could
would
happen.
not be surprised given the
Right, no.
circumstances that have taken place already here.
So, in that regard, we don't. We can speculate on, who it will be, another three way, four way, whatever it could turn out to be. But bottom line is, had it going into SmackDown, we don't know who CM Punk's opponent at SummerSlam is going to be. So there's some intrigue there. So what I imagine by the end of SmackDown, we will have that answer.
Yeah, or at least a tournament to announce
Of course.
that
Yeah. They're already using the gauntlet match idea for Raw next week, so it can't be
Oh,
that.
yeah,
But
that is
a battle
definitely
royal is
off the list.
but a battle royal is possible.
Yes, it is. That is still eligible on the list. Like you said, gauntlet match firmly off the list since one of those is announced already.
And as you brought up before we started recording, an issue has been made that currently no male champions were born, not have been born 1990 or later at this point. And it is 2026, and that was 36 years ago.
Yeah, that is pretty wild that is the case. I know it's something that we've brought up on the show before about most of these wrestlers being older. You know, I feel like because it's been hard to miss.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know,
They
and
brought it up last
even.
week between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in a way that, again, which we talked about. It shocked us. Like, I can't believe they're actually saying this about these guys. But it's, yeah, it that 2010s era is aging. It really is. Or the guys who are on the independents and even in the, really in their really early 20s, sometimes some of them even in their late teens in the mid 2000s, they're circling 40 now too, or over. They're 40, give or take. And then of
Yeah, I
course you got the guys
mean.
from the generation before who are older than that.
That is kind of wild. Something that is one of those because we also talked about it a little bit before the show. Like Johnny Gargano is one of those guys that I saw when he was like 18, 19, something in that vicinity, you know? And the fact that he is probably in his early 40s now, I've gotta look this up now, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like. You know, even those guys, 87. So yeah, he's 38, not quite 40.
Right. And of course, all the people
Still, like
bemoaning CM.
he's on the younger side of things still
Yeah.
at
And
38.
you've got people bemoaning this old man Punk coming back, CM Hogan or what have you, coming back to take the title off that deserving young champion, 41-year-old Sami Zayn. Only a 6-year age difference. They're about of Punk's older and was around longer, but they definitely crossed paths in that indie generation, at least early, very early in Sammy slash El Generico's career. I mean,
Oh,
the
right.
I mean, I mean, there's the famous story Kevin Owens has that why he couldn't stand Punk for years. They shared a locker room, and Punk just told him. Basically told him you dress like shit and you are an embarrassment and you should basically just
Oh,
told yeah so,
did not
something
know
like
that was
that.
that bad.
Oh yeah,
Yeet.
it was because Punk had an issue with guys who wore a t-shirt or tank top and shorts in the ring. He's like, you should wear trunks like a normal like a or a singlet like an actual fucking wrestler.
Yeah, he's kind of old school in that
He is very old
department.
school. He is old school.
I am not really surprised by the, it's one of those, oh, this makes sense in a in an opinion kind of way, but
He is old.
yikes. Yeah,
I
and
mean,
like you said, even older than he was old enough to be the one condemning Kevin Steen's actions.
yeah.
He was even a locker room leader back then. Oh man. Yeah, it is something. 'Cause what is Braun Breaker?
He's got to be 20. I don't think he's any more than 25, maybe 26 at most. I should say maybe.
Yeah, he is 28, so
Oh, he's
he's
28.
90.
Damn, he's older. He's older. He's older than I thought. But again, still
Still
born in
in the
1997,
90s.
so
Yep,
still
and
born in the 90s.
Obafemi, 98. Like,
Okay,
I
that's
do think
respectable.
that we're
Yes.
moving towards those two, but it is kind of wild though that they're going to be jumping from like no one born, people born in like the 70s and early 80s to like. It does almost feel like a generation was missed. You know what I mean?
Kind of does. Like, who's really between like 30 and 36, 37?
I don't know. Like that, because I
Yeah.
mean, again, like even looking at someone like Gargano, who's 38, like he's past what that kind of vicinity that we're talking about. Like I feel like it's kind of narrow. Like I feel like a Julia might be on the list. I wouldn't be surprised if Stephanie Vaquer is possibly on that list. But I mean, I'm not sure, 'cause
Yeah, Charlotte just
like
turned Charlotte Flair just
yeah.
turned 40. Becky's 39.
And Bailey's 38 or something
Yeah,
in that.
we're trying to say like 38 might be some kind of a cutoff because that's where you're really bordering 40 and you've been at this a really long time. But yeah, I'm like trying to think like who's older than Bron Breakker but younger than Johnny Gargano, really? Yeah, or Becky Lynch. Like who is it? Who is on this roster? Like who like. It, as you said, it feels like there's a missing generation of guy of people who never made it to, who never made it never made it to the top at all.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, and it's something that I really hadn't ruminated on it a whole lot until,
I mean, even if you look at
this
AEW,
topic came up.
Kenny the Young Bucks got to be in, bordering 40 or over. I would say that they're probably over at this point because people have been making old Bucks jokes for a while now.
Omega 42.
She's 42. That's older than I thought. He's my age.
So,
A little younger than me, but a few months younger than me.
Young Bucks, 36 and 41.
36.
I
Yeah, okay. I know
did not
Nick's a little
realize
younger.
there was quite that much.
Yeah,
I didn't
I don't
realize
know.
there's a 5-year gap. That's
I don't know.
a
That's
healthy
nice.
gap. I mean, did not realize that. But yeah, I mean, I
MJF
guess
just turned
that's.
30. He's
Oh, okay.
probably the he's probably the big star of his generation then, I guess. We call his generation. And granted, there's other factors of when someone actually started wrestling and all that, but
Right.
yeah, no, that's
Yeah,
again.
he's the only one really. I guess maybe
He's in
now
that
that you're on
breaker
that, like I
semi.
can't think of who, oh yeah, because Adam Page, because I'm like, I can't think of anyone in the WWE that's in that age bracket, but AEW seems to have a
Yeah,
few of them.
he's
Like you
34.
mentioned, it,
34,
yeah.
that sounds about right. And then let's go with Ospreay. Let's see what he's going on. The inevitable future champion of AEW. He's 33. Okay, so yeah, those guys have gravitating to AEW, but God,
It's
it's just
that,
so
yeah, that's
weird.
kind of
The
interesting.
WWE roster. I guess so many people have just come and gone out of washed out of WWE in that time
Well,
frame.
yeah, and I'm wondering, there's another
Because they
one.
picked up all of those guys who were already like in their 30s, who'd been on the indies
Okay.
forever. Like when they picked
Yeah.
up Owens, when they picked up Zayn and all, you know, and all those, you know, and then they brought Styles in finally. Like, yeah, it's
They did crowd out a lot of space for
they did
probably that
Gargano,
those
Ciampa, you know, Ciampa could pass for 50 at this point. How old is he? Forty. Well, he's
younger than
41. Young. He's the same age as Sami Zayn. Then, yeah.
Yeah, well, and one of the other guys that I was thinking about when you were talking about moving to AEW, I'm like, oh, what's Ricochet? And he's 37, so he's a little bit on the older end of what we're talking about here. You
Yeah.
know, if we're looking between 28 or so and
I would say th
30,
because Breaker only
38.
started, you know, like 5 years ago. So it's just like the guy, the maybe the mid 2010s, the early 2020s people, you know, where are they? Like, I guess they're in AEW, but even some of those guys were started, you know, young or whatever. And
Oh.
yeah, that's an interesting topic and one that we're not the same. We're literally just Googling this as we go along. We put no thought into this. We have not put.
No, but I mean it is kind of an interesting one. You know, like I said, I hadn't really thought about this gap that there's been because of these older champions. And even at that, MJF and Will Ospreay is not a terribly long list. You know what I mean? Or in Adam Page. So I mean, I guess we found three names, really to put on the list. So yeah,
I would never guess Penta's 41 max help.
that's. Oh yeah, I knew that he was that he had been around the Indies for a while. So I am not completely surprised by that one. So yeah, like there is not really anyone in the W, and I
Wait,
guess
no,
maybe I
Trick
could think
Williams. Wait, what are we talking about? Trick. Trick's gotta be Trick can't be that old, but I know he had like an NFL career. He's 32. Okay, so Trick. Okay, so there's Trick. And he was born in
okay.
94. He was born in 94. We were wrong. And
Well,
we
I
got so
think
into.
the well, I do think that people were talking about the WWE Championship specifically,
Okay, yeah, the
which
World
is
Championship, I guess, yeah.
it is a little more narrow. And like you said, like it's definitely the men because Sol Ruka blows the young quotient out of the water at this point on the ladies' side. But yeah, because I'm like, there's got to be someone on the WWE roster that I'm forgetting here. But yeah, I again though, like Trick Williams is just a relatively new name. Period. End of sentence. You know, what's he
Yeah.
been up on the main roster for a year?
Well, he probably came into, he would have
Without
come into, well, he, well,
looking at
again,
that part.
because he had the football career, he would have, and when that ended, he would have come in a little, maybe a little older than some people who, you know, started the Performance Center at NXT.
Okay, this is another one that while still stuck in NXT, yeah, Tony D'Angelo fitting the bill.
Okay.
31. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're, but that is still kind of wild, though, that the men aren't hitting a stride until they're almost 30.
Yeah, still, yeah, it's still for NXT, yeah.
Oh man, 'cause yeah, I mean Bron Breakker and Obafemi are the only two like younger guys that got rushed through NXT. So I guess that, maybe there are a few hanging out there, a few more than I think. Is this all of the current superstars? Oh gosh, yeah. If Austin Theory is on the list, he is definitely a prime example of a generation failed. Yeah, Big E would have been older than that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard.
Damian Priest is older than that.
Definitely.
Jeez,
Yeah, people have made a point of
you know
Priestley for a
what?
while, yeah.
Dominic Mysterio, I
Okay.
would believe would be on that list there.
Oh,
So
yeah.
yeah, we're building things out here a little bit, building things out a little bit for that that time period. Yeah, 97. So, yep. Firmly in that category. Yeah, Drew McIntyre over El Grande Americano, definitely over. The Usos, Hendry still a little bit on the older side, if I'm not
Definitely.
mistaken. Boy, I don't even know if I count the poor Creed brothers yet again got thrown aside once Chad Gable turned babyface.
Yeah, they're not in a good spot for sure.
But I would think that they'd fit the age category that we're talking about here. That's
Yeah.
why I kind of mentioned them.
Yeah.
But yeah, main roster wise, it's pretty limited. Oh my God, they still have Shane O'Mac listed as a WWE superstar. That is
Shane
wild.
O'Mac listed as a WWE superstar, and Sheamus already moved to the alumni section.
Oh, QR. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I did not I
I
just
saw that earlier.
I missed that.
So he is getting a, well,
Wow.
in case people have been living under a rock, and this is the first time you've heard, Sheamus is leaving WWE after receiving a restructured contract offer. Now, his contract was coming to an end, so it's not like they tried to restructure a deal that was ongoing, but we all know that restructure means take less money. And he decided to walk, which. In the case of a guy that old, that who's got that injury history, I don't know if I totally blame WWE in this case for not wanting to keep paying him that much. I hate to side with the Evil Empire here, but
It's yeah, he's just in an interesting spot where, and I mean, I think we've talked about it before. They used him in a lot of high leverage spots, but he never really sniffed the WWE championship after a certain time frame.
after a certain, and the last one he did was that the weird the one where he'd kind of been counted out of the main event scene already, but then he won Money in the Bank and robbed Roman, one of those poor Roman Reigns deals, like the guy just can't get his hands on the championship. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a yeah, but really the weird thing is after that, I think. When he started teaming with Cesaro in the bar, that's when people started saying, Sheamus has always been really good. And then
Yeah.
in the years that followed, he kind of had some ups and downs, but he could always be counted on for what he called a banger. He was still putting on bangers towards the end. Towards the end, he was definitely called upon more times than not to put over the new monster heel, I would say,
Yep,
to
I
give
think that's
to give him a
good.
tough match, but ultimately fall. And that
Yep.
was just gonna be his role. So yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
it's
2014. That was when he last had
I thought it was
the
2015. I don't know why I remember that so much.
World Heavyweight Champion 2012 to 2013, US Champion 13 to 14, League of Nations 15 to 16. And then the bar 2016, 2019.
They teamed longer than that I remember, but yeah, they had some great matches during that. They were a
Oh, yes.
fantastic team, and that is when Sheamus really started to earn, after all those years, really started to earn respect. I mean, he was popular, I think, during some of his earlier title reigns. I remember him having some fun
Yes.
stuff with a guy with the Big Show or whatever, or Daniel Bryan. You know, he definitely had a run, but I think people really that bar run really got made people really respect Sheamus as a wrestler, like. Sheamus is really, really good, and he's never essentially never had a bad match. And that carried over into his singles work, you know, post the bar. You know, he could always be counted on. That the one match he had with Gunther in Europe is a you know was you know
An
arguably the match of the year
all-timer.
that and an all-timer. You know, again, and this is older Sheamus, you know, putting on these matches. But you know what? Runs come. He had an amazing. He had a great run. You know what? Runs come to an end. It's not so much the coming to an end part as much as the. It doesn't seem like it was really his choice. I mean, it was his choice. I mean, he made the right choice for himself. But that choice has now put him outside of getting the AJ Styles farewell. He's getting the New Day. You know, don't hit your ass. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. Farewell. The company is saying nothing. It's only up to his friends and the roster to give him his flowers.
Yeah, that's the part that feels rough to me
Yeah,
within this
I
whole
agree.
situation, because like you said, like that is wild that 20, because I kind of agree with you, like it felt like he rode a little bit of a wave there. Because yeah, that was his second championship reign, 13 to 14, and there was a previous one in there. He did seem to hit a little bit of a lull, and the bar really did, like you said, like put him back on the map.
Right. The League of Nations did nothing for anyone. That was one of the worst factions that ever devised. All that stuff. I mean, that, you know,
Oof,
they
yeah,
were,
that
what were
did
they?
not help
What were
anyone.
they? Vince McMahon's, again, Vince trying to use whatever was left in Mr. McMahon to get Roman Reigns over. Yeah, it was just, you know, not good television. It didn't work. Obviously, nothing they did for in that 5-year period worked to get Roman Reigns, you know, where they wanted him to. So Sheamus was. Again, Sheamus had already been kind of moved out of the main event picture anyway. And it did kind of took the bar, as I said, because I was say keep bringing it up, but it took the bar run, I think, to get him back as you know your perennial upper mid card guy, mid card up to upper mid card guy who could always be counted upon to have a good match. If he needed to put someone over, he did. He got whatever wins he got along the way. There still, but you know, yeah, a great career. Hats off to Sheamus. Sucks that it's ending with no fanfare, but you know, let's see where he goes next because
That's
his the
the only bad part. The no fanfare, I guess I have gotten to the point of wanting him to see something on the way out the door here.
yeah. I mean, for God's
So
sakes, Edge got like five farewells and he still ended up in AEW.
oh my
that's
God.
conservative. Five farewells is cons it's a conservative estimate.
Yeah, there were a lot of farewells for Edge. And unfortunately, shame, I don't know. I'm interested to see what he does next. He does not seem to be into the acting quite as much as his good buddy, Drew McIntyre.
No. And he's an interesting case for AEW because again he is looking at everyone's ages now. Let's
I
I think I saw it
thought you
earlier
said
than
41. Oh, hold
I think
on.
it's even
What
old. I
am
think he's no, he's 48. He's older. He's older.
I? Oh.
He's technically older. He's older than CM Punk, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Punk's only 47. So yeah, no, again, he's older. Some of these WWE guys have not worked out in AEW's favor, in for a number of reasons. Sheamus is another one of
Oh.
Sheamus's, I think, good buddies. Rusev was a prime example of somebody who was just terrible in AEW,
They do not know, and I mean, Sheamus
And
is in
a lot of
that
that was his own, a
category.
lot of that was Rusev's own attitude, I think. I think he came in with an
Oh.
attitude problem, I think. I mean, because they used him well for a while there, but
Things soured pretty quick. It's easy to
yeah.
remember the bad when the good lasted for like maybe the first 6 months of
Right,
AEW.
yeah. I mean,
And
again,
it was sideways for 2.5 years after that.
Sheamus does love to just go out and have good matches, and there will be plenty of people he could go out and have good matches with. If there's obviously the Indies. He could if he does doesn't if he doesn't want to live in the States anymore, he could go back to Ireland. There's
Yeah.
he's got options. I'm sure he's made and saved money.
He seems like he's pretty much into Nashville life here. I would be surprised if he heads back to Ireland, just given
I can.
his posts on Instagram more times than not. But hey, do as you want, sir. You are given that carte blanche as far as I'm concerned. He has earned my respect, and if he decides
Yes.
to wrestle in AEW, I'll hope he has some more bangers. I mean, I still don't really expect him to be a heavyweight champion over there or anything. I do think that he would look even weirder there. Like, he is just like, he's a big guy that who AEW has just not done a good job with pretty much in general.
Not really,
So,
no.
So, with that out of the way, I guess there's other stuff that happened on Raw, was there not?
Yes, there were other things that happened on Raw. Yes, yes. Because
We
another
did not.
championship did change hands on Monday Night Raw.
I mean, it kept on getting the graphic that three championships were going to be on the line, or at least tentatively on the line through most of the night, since
Yeah. Cody Rhodes,
But I the
think this
Cody Rhodes
tag team
Chester is
title
up in the ring.
situation and the situation with The Vision and Paul Heyman, I think that might be the next most important thing on our list to talk about because it's a very weird dynamic right now. You've got Heyman dressing them all down, including Bron Breakker, and I'm just like, I don't know if Bron Breakker's character should be standing there taking it. And I'm just like, there
I
and there were expressions on his
did not
what
love that personally.
No, no, no. Because it feels like he has now been diminished by that loss to Seth Rollins and by the overall failure of the Vision.
he has been saddled with the failure of them to stay healthy,
Yes,
himself included.
himself. Yes, right, himself included. Yeah, I mean, I was okay with the cage match loss to Rollins because I. Just you just it just they've been wanting to do a Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins match for so long, and it just keeps getting delayed
Oh.
due to particularly Rollins' health situations that I felt it was gonna come. It was the end of the feud. They definitely were setting up as the blow off. All things I said last week. But this week it's now the Because last week it was Heyman blowing off Austin Theory. To the point where everyone was just thinking, people were just thinking awesome theories on his way out of this whole damn company.
Yeah, us included.
But not so fast. Because
Yeah.
the now the I guess makeshift team of Austin Theory and Bron Breakker maybe isn't gonna be that makeshift for the time being, as they win the tag team championship back for the Street Profits when Maxxine Dupri and hits Angelo Dawkins in the nuts, and that's just enough for Austin Theory to really count the pin. We get a major makeout session between Theory and Maxxine. They celebrate with Breaker and Logan Paul. They're all smiles. And then until they run into Paul Heyman in the back, who's happier but still not impressed, although it says at least someone did somebody right. I'm talking to her. Like, that's just like, I know they were having Breaker make some like angry faces at Heyman,
Right.
but I don't like him being talked. I do not like him being treated like this. If there's going to be a breaking point scenario and we get Breaker versus Brock out of the deal down the line, that'll be good. But ooh, to the setting him back to get there is concerning.
Yeah, one of those things that not terribly a fan of. Anything that makes anyone look bad, if you are overall thinking of pushing them, not usually a fan here. And yeah, Bron Breakker still getting the side eye after winning a championship. I can understand not giving him proper due, I suppose. But they even passed over that part,
Yeah,
if you
if
have
you want to
Heyman,
break
just
Heyman
even
off
give
from
him
them,
and go, okay, it was the start, and walk away or something like that.
he still had to be
Okay.
he still to be smarmy about it. Yeah, he still had. Yeah, it's I don't totally get what this is. I mean, if they just wanted to separate them, then maybe just separate them, and since
Oh.
Logan Paul's not going to wrestle for a while, he can be the mouthpiece, and it's fine. And this now foursome can be fine if we'll see, obviously, what happens with Reed when he returns, if he joins up with them as well, rejoins them as well. But to have them so at odds with Heyman, and Heyman so talking down to them, particularly Breaker, as we keep saying, it's just not a good look.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the only thing that Bronson Reed could do is win, like I always forget which ones IC or US is on Raw here. But that's what he'd have to win, like he's not going to win the main championship
No,
coming back,
that's not for him.
And why do I guess that'd still be a weird spot to have Bron Breakker as the backseat guy to Bronson Reed.
Yeah, this yeah, 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 this
Oh,
Logan Paul
the
injury with the
more I
tag
think
titles
about
is,
it, it's the more I don't like the idea.
no, I don't like it, and who likes it less than we do? Our good friend Jeremy Mays. I'm sure. Big Bron Breakker fan, him.
Yeah, so that one will be, I guess, interesting to keep an eye on, because it definitely seems like it's going to continue.
There, it's definitely going to continue.
So I don't know what's going to make Heyman happy. If a championship doesn't make you happy, like I'm not completely sure, like or a couple of title defenses going to do the trick. That
Yeah, I.
like what does that really get you? I don't know. Not a whole lot, in my opinion. And yeah, I guess that is the other wild thing about this. Also, a week ago, we're like, oh yeah, Maxxine seems to be back on Chad Gable's side. And now this has been an interesting, to me, seemingly an about face in direction here.
Yeah, it definitely an about face, but finally some movement.
Yeah, she, if they wanted to keep her relevant on TV, she needed to definitely move away from Otis and Tozawa.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that this is a great solution, but it's at least accomplishing the first part of getting her away from them.
They look like they had chemistry, and that's important. You know, they quite, you know, looked good together. She might, if she's gonna again move more towards being a heel valet, it might be a better role for her than having her wrestle regularly. And
Oh.
then her, if her theory have that kind of chemistry, it might be the best thing for him.
Oh. Yeah, it's been a while. I wonder if Triple H will kind of let it rip here with a true female valet moving forward. You know, like
I mean, she doesn't have to never wrestle, but I mean,
Right.
we've tried her as a reg as you know, we've tried putting a belt on her. It's just like it got a, you know, decent reaction, but she again, trying to sell her as this underdog, someone who looks like that as this underdog story was always a tough sell.
Yeah, it's a wild look to have someone that gorgeous looking and try to sell it as an underdog story.
Yeah, but you know, if she's gonna be a little more, you know, the key is to try to keep make sure that they don't just end up a copy of Liv and Dom, I think, because that would be the next
Oh.
comparison. But if they can, you know, be their own thing, it's not like they can, you know, you can't have two heel couples in the company.
Yeah, and Austin Theory should not back down as much as Dominic Mysterio, just as a general whole, given their physiques, I would
No, no,
say.
no, no.
So I do think that they can definitely coexist without much of a problem.
Yeah.
But speaking of Liv and Dom, at least the Liv part here, she was involved in the next matchup on Raw that also involved a championship. Sol Ruka takes on Raquel Rodriguez, defending her Women's Intercontinental Championship. Yeah, Liv and Roxanne tried to interfere. They did not accomplish what they wanted to. Raquel Rodriguez ends up eating a soul snatcher because of one Io Sky comes out
Yes.
to make the save here.
Yes. Io Sky is Supergirl. I mean, she. This is now the second time she saved someone's championship, including Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. They even redid the same spot from WrestleMania, where Io was going jumping off, springboarding off for the Acai Moonsault. Just as Raquel was about to knock her off the apron.
Oh, yeah, they did do that spot.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yep.
I'll allow it.
Yeah,
Don't necessarily need to do it again in a short period of time, but yeah, it was fun.
this was one of those notes that I wrote down that I was cackling about a little bit. In the aftermath of it, the Judgment Day was just focused on Sol Ruka celebrating in the ring.
This I loved. Yeah, I know I
And
loved it, but yeah.
they were just sitting in front of the announcer's desk, and Io Sky is up on the announcer's desk celebrating. And I'm like, why aren't they whooping her ass right now?
Okay, I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah, you and I are on the same page. Yes, yes,
Yeah,
yes. Well, yeah, well, why is she still sitting there? Why isn't she run away? Like, why are they not? Why?
why are
It
they
was a
not
weird.
doing anything about it?
That part was weird. Yes. That part was weird. That was a very weird way to do that.
It's not the worst thing that I've ever seen, but boy, that was it was definitely something. Speaking of Sheamus and League of Nations, I did have to laugh that the WWE almost has that again here. Ethan Page and Rusev are something of an item these days. I mean, they're loosely affiliated. And they took on Chad Gable and Dragon Lee. And got the victory in this
Yes,
situation here.
they got the victory. This is another one of the, this is again because all the same principles from the WrestleMania ladder match plus more plus two or three more are now in this gauntlet situation that they're still all jockeying for the Intercontinental Championship match. And they really did the same thing they did to prep for this gauntlet match that they did before WrestleMania. Realize we have Rusev lose way too much, so he needs to kick some ass.
Yeah, he did. They did make him look strong in this matchup.
Yes.
So, mission accomplished
Although
in
this
this
was the
part.
weakest match of the show, and not the technically, maybe not
Oh, yeah.
necessarily technically, but in terms of star power, this is the match that I went, okay, I'll check it on the soccer game for and I'll put the soccer game on the TV and have this on my phone.
Okay.
So yeah,
I could talk
you don't you
about
don't want
more with that with Jeremy. I have a lot of words that could
to...
come out of this mouth about
Okay,
that one.
yeah.
But something we did not talk about that did happen on Raw here, but I'm seeing the later segment here. LA Knight got to dress down Seth Rollins. I guess it, well, I suppose we can start there because we have not really mentioned Seth Rollins.
No, we have not mentioned Seth Rollins. So Seth Rollins comes out. Really his usual Roman Reigns promo. He said he wasn't going to do the usual Roman Reigns promo, and then he went and did it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm like, whatever. It's moving the story
Yeah,
along.
it is moving. It's moving it along.
It's keeping them on TV without, having them in a confrontation.
Yeah,
Just
no.
like,
No,
yeah,
again, it was fine.
it
It's
was fine for
it's
what it was
maintain
supposed to
it's
be.
yeah, it's maintenance. But maintenance until LA Knight showed up. And LA Knight cut a hell of a promo. It was a great promo. It almost too if the audience if any part of the audience is frustrated with the same guys on top wrestling each other over and over again. He spoke for that part of the audience.
Yeah, LA Knight not in the in the area that we were talking about earlier in the
Oh,
show here.
he's definitely an older gentleman, yes. But
But still,
in
he's
his
definitely a
mind,
new
he hasn't had
name.
his he's a newer name and
Yes.
he hasn't gotten quite gotten to crack to the top.
Yep.
And and smartly, he's weaving the storyline stuff about the bloodline and the vision into it, and not saying it's like oh politics at the top and Triple H or blaming TKO or anything like that. It's
Oh.
that the bloodline has screwed more than most of all has kept him down, and of course being screwed around with by the vision. It all came it all made sense at least in a kayfabe term. But yeah, he expressed some frustrations that definitely. He felt passionate about it. And there's some reality to the things that what he was saying. I'm sure there's things he believed he was saying. Again, a great promo. I just got to ask, what's it leading to? Again, the baby faces are all being assholes feuding with each other. There are almost no heels in this company. It seems like it feels like.
Yeah, and I guess that's what kind of leads me to, because clearly, we're doing Seth and Roman.
Yeah, of course,
So
yes.
he's LA Knight's not really going to have any beef with Seth Rollins, at least until, at least a little bit later down the line here. So that means we get
But
the
there is the
later.
history because LA Knight was the guy in the ring when Rollins faked his injury, and that's,
Oh, yeah, there's a story to tell there.
there is a story to tell with him and everybody. I mean, I'm
Yeah.
just not sure exactly where it's all going to lead, because again, it's just all the baby faces are just feuding with each other.
Well, and if Seth Rollins does capture the championship, I don't think he's going to cough it up to LA Knight. Like,
No, LA Knight's in a weird spot, yeah.
yeah, he's still in a weird spot where I mean, I guess you can give someone else a 9-day reign if you want
Yeah,
to do
exactly.
something
Yeah,
like
I just think about Sami Zayn. He was all he's the other guy,
that.
to always talk about being world champion. It's just like, I don't see where you fit, man. I'm sorry, but they made you fit for a little bit. Yeah, you can at least say you're always a former champion. But
Yeah.
it's again one of the better promos I've ever heard that could still lead to nowhere.
Yeah, because I mean, he's just in a retread with the later segment in the night.
Yeah.
LA Knight comes out to confront Jimmy Uso. He gets smacked by the Samoan werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
And
And yes.
he's back in Bloodline Hell,
Right. I
really.
mean, and I think you're alluding to his segments with the Usos for what feels like months on end. Every months on end. It just feels so repetitive. It feels the same thing every week for months on end.
There's definitely a Groundhog's Day element to
Because he
these
doesn't get to
segments.
because here's the thing, he doesn't get to interact with Roman Reigns.
No. It's always the Usos or Jacob.
Yeah. Roman
So,
Reigns does not
yeah.
give him the time of day. At least Seth Rollins did.
Yeah. Because Seth just, he's a diehard. He's got to be there night in and night out. I guess one last thing to talk about here. Well, there's two last things here. Bayley gets a recorded promo about knowing Lyra way back in the day in her early career, and maybe actually finally garnering some sympathy for herself in this weird babyface run.
Yeah, this weird babyface run that's been around for over 2 years now. Yeah.
It's been weird for 2 years.
Yeah, it has been weird. Those turns that aren't really turns, those turns where your heel friends turn against you, but you never really turned or changed decisively. Yeah, those have always been really bad ones. I mean, the worst one ever was probably the Evolution turn on Randy Orton. Because it took Randy Orton years to recover from that, basically.
Oof, yeah, that was really rough for Mr. Orton.
Yeah, and maybe not necessarily gonna take years to recover for Bayley. Or I guess it already has. I mean, oh my God! I mean, she got the t she got a not very good title run out of it, and then, kind of. She'll always be there. She'll get her, she'll get her tag team moment. She'll get her whatever. She'll get her shots at championships. But yeah, the last couple of years have not been kind to her. We've talked about it,
Oh, yeah.
and now she's in this feud with newly heel Lyra. It doesn't feel like she's ultimately going to win this feud. So she is in that in that late 30s, early 40s boat where, yeah, she, it's time to put over the new generation, or at least
Oh.
she's having to. Others don't really necessarily get forced into that bubble, like your Charlotte Flairs and your Becky Lynch's. Although Becky Lynch has taken her farewells in this run. I mean, although one of those was to, AJ, who's, was, coming out of retirement to face her. And we have not seen Becky since the Solo Ruka loss. So they are. So I guess she is putting some people over, but she's still light years above, Bayley in the pecking order at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah, 'cause even with 'cause I was gonna say, I feel like I would not be surprised to see Charlotte eat an L on against Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I could see that one because
You know,
Jade's also
yeah.
lost. Jade's lost quite a bit lately, so you can't have her just keep losing, unless it's they've kind of given up, which I don't think they have. I mean, obviously, they're making a big deal out of this in lieu of not having a women's championship match on the SmackDown side. They're making this Jade Cargill Charlotte Flair match, a big deal, a really big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's easy to make a big deal, you know? Like, this is one of those
Not,
ones
but.
where
Go ahead.
it's one of the few women's matchups that you can make and not have a championship involved.
Yes, not as big of a deal though is where Bayley and Lyra are going to be at, because I don't know if I necessarily see that getting on SummerSlam.
No, definitely not. Even with these extended cards on SummerSlam, it still feels tight with the. What are they usually six matches now as
Six
a
or
larger?
seven.
Yeah,
They might squeak it on,
so we
but
got
I'm
12.
doubting it.
Yeah, so we have 12 to 14 matches, I guess, is what we're looking at. And I mean, that's still a tough fit when you're talking about at least six championship match. Well, at least four championship matches, I should say, because it'd probably be both women's titles and both men's titles. And then, so that reduces it down to eight possible matches, if we're saying 12-ish, 12 to 14. So, I mean, you're already starting to run out of room just accounting for championship matches. And I mean, I'm not counting if there's going to be a tag team or something else in
There
the
probably
mix,
will be a tag team, something with the tag teams. IC US will probably both get defended. Likely. I mean, Jade and Charlotte is essentially taking the place of a championship match, really. On the SmackDown side with Rhea Ripley, Rhea being out. That's five. That would be five women's matches right there.
Oof, yeah, and we even on the main roster, we have not really cracked that. The women's ceiling is still a little bit higher on the main roster than it is on NXT
Mean lower?
or lower, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Four or five is probably your sweet spot. I think WrestleMania had five.
Yeah,
If
so
I remember correctly,
I would not expect any more than
was only
five
four.
women's matches, I would say, out of the 12. But yeah, I do think it'll be tough to kind of go back to the point for Bayley and Lyra to make that cut. You know, Rhea being out, it leaves it as more of a possibility than normal times, but still to me not a great chance. So, is there anything else on your brain there? Because I think we're pretty much. Oh, I almost forgot about this part. How can I forget Dominic Mysterio? And this is another note I wrote for myself. JD McDonagh trying to look like a tough guy made me laugh. Enjoyable segment with them goading Danhausen here. I guess, there's not a lot to say. Like, I enjoyed the segment, but there also wasn't all that much to it here. They just want their money
No.
back still.
Yeah, they want their
Because
money back, yes.
evidently, that was not all of their money that was in the exploding briefcase last week.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it, yeah.
So,
Stuff.
anything else to cover here before hitting the
I
old dusty trails?
I think we're ready to head out.
Okay, even though they've been sold to some independent not independent, some corporate brewery, BrewDog Brewing, the USA arm at least, was purchased sometime recently. I still have a number of beverages in my fridge from them. This is just their basic pale ale, 6.3% alcohol. It's a very good IPA. I do think their flagship Punk IPA is a little bit better, but they just make, in general, very good IPAs. So I think that they're still distributing throughout the United States, so it's easy to pick up some BrewDog, should you want to. Hazy Jane would be on my suggestion list. Punk IPA would also be on it. And yeah, this just regular IPA, if that's the only option you got, sure, go for it, man. It's still a pretty good one. So Bell Time be your suggestion for Matt DeFrango, 11 the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.